It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Boy Scouts of America, Quivira Council Boy Scout Executive CEO, Brian Nastasi. Did I get that just about right?
You did.
Okay. Welcome to Issues 2024. For those who are just tuning in, they probably have a vague idea what the Boy Scouts are. What is the Quivira Council?
Well, the Quivira Council is made up of 49 counties in southern Kansas. We go out to the Colorado border now. 49 counties, we cover, we service over 6,500 youth and adults throughout our 49 counties, and we deliver our program at a number of properties. One is the kind of the crown jewel, the Quivira Scout Ranch. That's down in Sedan in Chautauqua County. It's about 3,000 acres, boasts the largest privately owned lake in the state of Kansas. And right now, we are hosting the Kansas National Guard. They are on property for the next 2 weeks doing a massive project with their innovative readiness training, their summer training program. So we're excited.
Talking about 49 counties, did you say?
Yes, sir.
Covering what part of the state, Chip, from where to where? Just
yeah, from McPherson, McPherson all the way down to the Oklahoma border.
Okay.
And then from the Colorado border out east to Independence. And that area.
Yeah, but I think you've already answered about four of my questions. I was going to ask how many scouts are participating.
Sure. Yeah. We serve about 4,000 youth, and then another 1,500 adult leaders, okay. Registered adult leaders.
Do the Cub Scouts fall under your umbrella?
Yes. Yes.
So how's that going?
The Cub Scouts make up boys and girls, kindergarten through fifth grade. It's going very well. We've been rebuilding since the pandemic, and it really looks very, very positive for this fall for us to have a great recruiting season and increase our membership in the Cub Scouts, Cub Scout numbers.
I want to be clear on this because Girl Scouts, are they a completely separate organization?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They are. We share the name Scout, and that's about all we
share.
That's
about it, huh? Okay.
Yes.
How long have you been here in Wichita then, Ryan?
7 years this past April.
How did you get here? I mean, did they let you out on work release?
And
you
just yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yeah, from Michigan. Actually,
from Michigan.
Spent 9 years in Michigan and before that 10 years in Omaha, all with the Boy Scouts. So 7 years here in Kansas and just loving it.
Are you from Nebraska then?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm gonna assume that as a youngster you were in the Scouts.
Yes. Yes, I was.
Tell me about your experience when you were young.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I got a chance to really kind of test out my skills, my leadership skills as a young man, and get a chance to go on huge adventures. All of our summer camp adventures, our winter camping, got the chance to fail in a safe environment. And that really helped me understand that you don't have to live this life perfect. You just have to live it in a way that is respectful by others. And that's what scouting taught me, is that, knowing what you can and can't do, and not being afraid to fail.
Yeah. I've retained quite a few things from. I was in Cubs and Boys about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
but I returned one thing that people say, when do you go into work? Well, I spend several hours preparing for the show.
Sure,
because we have a motto:
be prepared.
And it's funny, but it's sunk in.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I want to get the controversy out of the way first.
Sure,
and Boy Scouts have had their share. How have the lawsuits and publicity impacted scouting nationally and locally?
Yeah.
What's the impact been?
Yeah, it's really hurt our membership, even locally. But we are on the rebound. The bankruptcy ended 2 years ago. We are growing and growing fast right now, both with our donor base as well as our membership. Families are coming to us because there are very few options out there that provide young people the opportunity for leadership growth, for the ability to produce grit in their children and be able to have a mental capacity really to fight through some of the things that are going on in our world today.
I give might give some of these kids a little structure.
Yeah, very much so.
Man, I tell you, that's lacking, I think, for our country. The organization, about to be rebranded, is that what's going on?
Yes, we will be Scouting America. And that is the brand is long overdue. We could have and should have changed that well before the year 2000. We've had girls in the program since the 70s in our older youth programs like Exploring and Venturing. Now we have girls in Cub Scouts, which is really a family program. The parents provide the leadership. The entire family is invited. And so rebranding to Scouting America is very appropriate for us. We haven't lost any of our values. We haven't lost any of our the 12 points of the Scout Oath and Law. It is the same, but the ability to attract the entire family to Scouting really is the goal with this rebranding.
But as my memories of Scouting is that there's nothing gender specific about it, I don't think, that I can remember.
Yeah, the only thing that is in our troop-level scouting, we do provide girl troops for fifth grade and up and boy troops for fifth grade and up. And so those are kept separate. We think that's important for the developmental of boys and girls, that age group, 10 to 14, to really have them learn, because they learn differently at that age. The advancement levels and the emotional capacity for kids at that age is very, very different.
So right at the center of everything is the handbook.
Yes.
And I imagine that's kind of gender specific. It was almost all boys. I think it was all boys.
Yes.
The little paintings and whatnot.
Yeah. Just 4 years ago when we allowed girl troops to be formed across our country, they took the boy handbook and converted it to girls with pictures of girls doing scouting and outdoor activities. None of the requirements changed. So when you see a girl earn the rank of Eagle Scout, she has done and accomplished the same exact things that I did when I was in scouting and every other boy and man that did achieve that rank.
I can't think anything that is terribly, when I say physically challenging, I mean lifting weights or doing anything like that, that females couldn't do. I can't remember anything, but I mean, you go to camp out, you know how to unroll a sleeping bag.
Right. Yeah. women have now have the same opportunities that men do to earn that rank, and we've got young people that are excited about it, and their parents are excited about it because now the girls get to participate in the same scouting program that boys have had cornered that market for a very long time.
So what challenges does all this present for you?
So
obviously you got to get new stationery or something.
Yeah. So the national office took on a bulk of that expense related to rebranding the manuals and that type of thing. But locally, it really hasn't been that hard of a change for us. We serve almost 1,000 girls in our Cub Scout, our family scouting, and our troop programs. So just in the past 4 to 5 years, we have had such a major impact. A little over 20% of our membership is now girls. And most of them came from girls that their brothers were in scouting, and they just loved seeing seeing their brothers participate and wanted to participate in the same way.
Obviously, this has been done so the scouting will be more relevant. And the goal, as I assume the goal is to get more kids into scouting.
Absolutely, yeah. We are really challenged, I think, in a lot of different ways. The culture of families today is vastly different. I call this culture the culture of sitting behind a computer, sitting behind a screen or on a phone. And that culture really has to change. We have to impact that culture so they learn how to deal with struggles in life and be able to bounce back from things that you know make them feel depressed, things that they fail in that every generation has experienced. But we are making an impact by taking the screen away, getting them outside with their parents, with their siblings, with their friends, and providing an exciting program that truly is unparalleled to anything out there.
Well, at the same time, growing up, I know how to sharpen a hatchet and build a fire and some of the. But what about computers? Because do you have any areas that get into that, or maybe the
sure.
how it works, or you know? It's there.
Yeah, there's.
Here's one right here. Yeah. In fact, here's three.
Technology is not ignored.
You can't ignore it. No.
Right.
Okay.
And so we do have requirements all the way from about second grade up through our scouting age of 18 that have requirements for our young people to earn that are technology driven, but that is not the major focus.
Good.
And so. Even to register online, we've got all that kind of those resources available.
Yeah.
Families can register their kids at scouting.org, bescout.org. And so those opportunities with technology, we have STEM-related activities. I was at Quivira Scout Ranch yesterday. We had air gas down there delivering a welding program. Mm. And so the technology, we have to embrace it because it is part of today's culture, but it doesn't have to be a barrier to kids learning perseverance.
Yeah.
To kids learning those moral values that really are the cornerstone of our families and the family culture.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Boy Scouts of America, Quivira Council's Scout Executive CEO, Brian Nastasi. And Brian, I just to share a little bit of my own experience. My mom, what is it, 7 or 8 years old when you first started Cub Scouting?
Yeah, you're in Cub Scouts.
Yeah. My mom was our den mother. In fact, she was den mother for, I have three brothers, and I think she den mothered for all of us at one point or another.
I'm sure.
And so, you know, it was a great experience. One day a week after school, we got together with our buddies, and I had a great fun. It was super. And my wife grew up; she was a Girl Scout.
Yeah,
and
great program.
And she was you can see it in her. I mean, she's organized. She said she had a sash covered with merit badges. I think I had three. You know.
You know, and those types of scouting programs have changed from when you and I were in Cub Scouts. We went to a neighbor's house and did our den meetings.
Yes.
Now, today, our den meetings are held at the school. Mm-hmm. They are held with all the parents are present. We do some after-school programs for the inner city, but that's held within the school or within a church, in a church basement. So we're not in someone's home for a den meeting. And so a lot of changes have taken place to make sure that kids are safer, and we provide a program that every family really wants.
Brian, is it difficult to find quality scout leaders?
It is. I think the greatest asset that we have is that there isn't anyone out there that, you know, doesn't want their kids to learn how to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Clean and reverent.
That's everybody wants their kids to grow up with that. It's a matter of, do we want to take the time, or do we want to spend our time chasing a ball that we think will provide a massive scholarship? That's the difference in today's arena of finding quality leaders, because I can tell you, and all three of my boys played varsity sports. They played sports from the time they were about four up until they were 18 and graduated high school. But they also did scouting. And the values that they hold today, they use every single day from scouting. They don't learn They don't take with them the ability to kick a ball 100 yards. They don't take that into the work world.
No.
And so today, finding great leaders is just creating the conversation that helps us to change people's minds about what is really important in teaching your kids and where do you want them to be when they're 25 years old. Do you want them to live in their basement? Or do you want them to live in their on their own with
a job? At least know how to do a tent.
Yes. They still don't know how to do a tent. That's right.
How is scouting just assuring parents that their children are being properly treated? Do you have any safeguards?
Absolutely. Okay. We have a youth protection training that every registered leader must take. And then for every youth that joins, in the front of all the manuals, every single manual, so kindergarten all the way through our Scouts BSA program, in the front of the book is a manual for the parents to talk to their kids about the dangers that are out there in the world today, some related to technology and some related to bullying, related to things that we just want to prepare our kids. And it is age appropriate. Each level in those books, those manuals, is age appropriate and helps the parent have that conversation with youth.
How did the pandemic impact scouting?
That was rough, Steve. It was rough.
Just for everybody,
yeah,
right?
It was rough for everyone. The interesting part is people who truly love scouting stayed with us. People that were on the fence, some stayed, some didn't. But when we came back from the pandemic, that was what I thought was inspiring, was families joined because they knew the dangers of isolation.
Okay.
And we made a major impact on families and youth because they saw the isolation and what it was doing to their own families.
Now, the epitome is the Eagle Scout.
Yes.
And that's the tops. Well, and I know over the years, a lot of famous people were Eagle Scouts.
Yeah.
Can you tell me just a couple or three of them?
Steve, weren't you one of them?
I was not an Eagle Scout.
Oh, you weren't. Okay.
I made it to Tenderfoot.
Well, the interesting, 3 to 5 years in the scouting program, you really accumulate the values that we are trying to teach from the time scouting was created 114 years ago. But obviously the Eagle rank is definitely the pinnacle. That is the opportunity in our eyes. That's like hitting, that's the varsity sport level. Okay. And so we have a lot of young men and women that are achieving that rank. We have a lot of great people, even in our community, that are of the Eagle Scout rank. And it's tough to achieve, but it is definitely brings in the perseverance and makes them better citizens.
I'm thinking there are astronauts and just many, many people, prominent people who have been Eagle Scouts. It's a good measure. What about the mentoring that's done? The people make an impact on these kids that's going to last a long time. You're trying to get into a place where we don't have it that much in our culture anymore, and that is standards, setting high standards and goals for people, young people. I'm not sure there's many of them are. I'm going to say most of them are not challenged that way. If they can get into scouting, maybe they can find something.
Yeah. The culture today, again, the standards, people don't necessarily like to have standards for achievement. They want to achieve different things, but they don't want to have those challenges put in front of them. Scouting puts the challenges in front of them, and they can learn it at their own pace. And that's why scouting is available for every youth and every family. It's something they can do together. And when they do achieve a goal or a rank, a belt loop, a merit badge, they're recognized. And that builds that confidence that as a parent, that's what I wanted in my children, was have that confidence to be able to deal with the rough days out there. And by earning those achievements, you're building that child into a man or a woman that can handle life.
It was interesting. My scouting experience got to Boy Scouts. I was in Boy Scouts for a couple of years, and it was interesting because I was out in Dodge City, and we went to Hodgman's State Lake when they had one of those Scout Jubilee or whatever they call them.
Yep, Jamboree.
Jamboree.
Yeah.
And, of course, cooking our own meals, and we built a bridge, and it rained every day.
That builds character.
And every night. You haven't lived till you've slept in 3 inches of water.
In your tent.
In your tent.
And sometimes in your sleeping bag.
But it was a great experience and a lot of fun. So right now, what's the biggest challenge you're facing?
The biggest challenge that we are facing is access. Schools are struggling to achieve those the test scores. They're challenged to deliver an education that is, and teachers are on. You know, parents come after the teachers quite a bit, and I think that's a challenge. We are trying to offer the schools and the families some support in that arena, and so we're trying to make sure that we are respectful of our educators, respectful of their time with their students. But when we know that when we talk to youth about joining scouting, they get excited about it. If you talk to a six-year-old about joining, if you talk to him about joining scouting, and you tell them about all the fun things and the adventures they can have with their friends and their family, they get fired up about it. But if you don't get a chance to, and you just hand them a flyer, you can hand them a flyer of scouting and a flyer of soccer, and kids, they understand what soccer is. Not every family has taught their kids about scouting. We want a chance to do that. So promotion of our program and getting the word out is definitely one of our challenges, and one that we can overcome. We're doing that through partnerships with the schools and the diocese. And that.
A lot of scouting is, in my mind, I'm putting words in your mouth, it's discipline, and it's about self-discipline. And it's, many people in this country, oh, that's terrible. Discipline. Well, that's the way you get things done. If you got a little discipline and self-discipline, that doesn't mean you're going to clobber somebody upside the head.
Right, right.
That means you learn how to do things in a structured way, like you say, to achieve something.
Yeah. But there's so
what
many.
What could be worse than that?
But today's arena, there are just so many distractions for our kids. Nothing like when we were growing up. Nothing like even kids today, their parents, they grew up in a different environment. Today, the distractions of a 7, an 8, 10, 15-year-old child is pretty extreme.
Yeah.
And we as parents have to be strong enough to say to our kids, we're going to go outside and you're going to be okay.
Right. I'm talking about values, and politicians kick around family values quite a bit, but this is a place where you can sure find them. Listen, I appreciate your time this morning, and before we let you go, give me a little overview of what the future of scouting is here locally, or the entire program. What are we going to see in the next couple of years?
Yeah, so very, very exciting time to be involved in scouting. Scouting really invites youth to a safe, fun place to learn, explore, and grow. The future of scouting is going to be something that we want to bring to every family. We want to bring to every church and school out there. And really, I was talking to someone the other day that said, is our community better off with scouting or not? Mm-hmm. And the answer is obviously we're better off with scouting. And that doesn't mean just Wichita. That means every community within Kansas. I believe that scouting in Kansas can grow, and this can be a premier organization and movement again.
Is the motto be prepared?
It absolutely is.
And what is it? Brave, clean, and reverent.
Brave, clean, and reverent.
I have trouble
12 points to the Scout Law.
Trouble with all three of those. Brian, thanks for being with us. Our guest, Boy Scouts of America, Quivira Council, Executive and CEO Brian DeStacy. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.